If you would tonight, take your Bibles, turn to the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter number 14, verse 24. It's interesting, when I put this sermon into my iPad, I have I guess every sermon that I have preached since 2009, 2010 here on this device, but I have not preached since 2010 in any manner in the book of Numbers. So maybe a book that I need to put a little bit more emphasis on. But tonight, Numbers 14, 24. We are looking at faith, specifically how we are to live by faith, not by sight. Because the tendency that we have is to live by sight, and for sight to dictate and determine how we live. But the Bible clearly teaches us that sight, what we see, is not always the reality, and that we have to have faith in what we can't see, and trust in what God is doing even when we can't see God doing it. And so we're looking at faith, and we'll discuss that here after we read the text. And before we do that, we want to pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for the day, for the good service we had this morning. You gave us the opportunity to be together and to learn from your word about worship. God, it is our desires to be a good worshiper. You have regenerated us. You have enlivened our spirits. You have made us your own. And in the process of birthing us into the family of God, you have made us the worshipers of God. We no longer are worshipers of ourselves or of idols, but God, we are worshipers of God now by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we want to make sure that we worship you as you have prescribed us to worship you in your word. So you said that we must worship you in spirit and in truth, not just formality, not just going through the motions, but our inner being engaged in the worship of you, and all of that guided by and protected by the truth of your word. So God, help us tonight to preach truth, to expound your word in a right way that would nourish and foster our worship. And may your word warm our hearts. May your word revigorate the love in our hearts for you, the adoration that we have for you, the appreciation we have for you. May all that work itself out in the worship of you tonight. And we would be thankful if you would do that for us, because we love to see you glorified. In Jesus' name and for Christ's sake we pray. Amen. Numbers 14:24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. That's God's word, and all God's people said, Amen. Again, we're looking at four specific aspects of faith, of true, genuine faith that is given to us as a gift from God. And we're looking at these four aspects of faith by looking at four biblical characters who I think exemplify for us these four specific aspects. We began in Genesis looking at Adam and Eve, who following their disobedience had childlike faith in believing the Word of God that there was life to come through Eve, even though that promise came in the midst of a sentence of death. And so they simply believed, Adam simply believed God would bring a redeemer, and he names his wife Eve, which means life. Life will come through her. And she also believes with childlike faith as well. And what we said was, real genuine faith always simply believes what God's Word says with a childlike faith, without details, without explanations. God said it. It must be true. We believe it. Then we looked at the Shunammite woman and Elisha, and we looked at her contented faith, given a son as a favor of Elisha from the power of God. The son dies. As she goes to the man of God, she tells her husband, it will be well. She tells Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, it is well, when asked if everything is all right, and all things turn out to be well. And so faith is contented, I think, to whatever God deems to be best for us. And then last week we looked at the Canaanite woman whose daughter was possessed by the demon, and we looked at her cultivated faith, the faith that God grew and nurtured in its quality, not necessarily its quantity, but its quality, through the difficulties and the trials of her life, because Jesus himself said that her faith was great. And so we wanted to know how her faith was great, and it was made great by these things in her life that increased the quality of her faith. So tonight, I want us to look at Caleb, and I want to talk about continuing faith or persevering faith. So true faith, I think, is childlike faith. It is contented faith. It is cultivated faith, and it is continuing or persevering faith. And faith, if it is true and genuine, always continues and always perseveres. So the passage that we read out of Numbers 14 centers on a man named Caleb. Caleb was part of Israel when they left Egypt, delivered by the hand of God. He was there with the Israelites when God divided the waters of the Red Sea. And God had a land flowing with milk and honey prepared for his people. But it also was a land that was full of giants and a land that would have many battles. But it was their land. God had promised it to them, and God had said he will go before them and fight their battles for them. So it's their land if they want it. Well, you know, as well as I know, that Israel, the nation as a whole, chose to disbelieve God's word. And their unbelief caused them to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And that particular generation never did enter God's promised land. So I want to talk about Caleb, and I want to talk about his faith as it is presented to us in this one verse. And we'll look at some other things, but let's look at this one verse and just sort of unpack it a little bit tonight. Let's begin by looking at the distinction that marks Caleb's faith. The distinction that marks Caleb's faith. God says, "But my servant Caleb, because he had what? Another spirit with him." So the Word of God here says Caleb, specifically Caleb, had another spirit with him. A different spirit. In other words, Caleb stood out from among the crowd. There was something different about Caleb. And even among those who wanted to follow God, Caleb stood out from them. You remember, Moses sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised them. And what these 12 spies came back with was a report that, yes, indeed, as God had said, the land was indeed flowing with milk and honey. You remember they brought grapes out that took two people to carry them. 10 of the spies, 10 of the 12, were also overwhelmed with what looked like to be great difficulty in the circumstances of taking the land. They would have to fight giants, and the cities had great walls, and there would be a lot of trouble and a lot of effort and a lot of difficulty in taking this land. And they simply, 10 of the spies said, or just felt that they were overwhelmed with that. They saw the difficulties more than they saw the potential. And they spoke to the Israelites in very negative terms about the possibility of being able to obtain the land. But there were two of the 12, two spies. You remember they were Joshua and Caleb. Now Caleb at this time is 40 years of age. When Moses sends him into the land, he's 40. And the distinction here of Caleb's faith is that he, along with Joshua, were willing to stand out against the majority opinion. Caleb and Joshua were prepared to be one of a small group in opposition against a larger group. Say amen. They had something about them that would not let them just go along with the status quo. So Caleb and Joshua see things very differently than the other 10 did. The other 10 saw the problems, and Caleb and Joshua see the potential, the opportunity. One group sees the difficulties in the land, and Caleb and Joshua see the great opportunity for God to show forth His power and His glory. And the question is, why did Joshua and Caleb see things so differently than the other 10? I think we have the answer here. They had a different spirit with them. So Caleb delivers his report to Moses. The Bible says, according to his convictions, according to his heart, not according to the popular opinion of the other 10. Now, it is very difficult to swim against the stream. It's very difficult to go against the majority. But if the majority is wrong, we ought to go against it. For Caleb to claim what God had promised he would do, he had to go against the majority. And so Caleb is governed by faith, I think. Faith of the Holy Spirit, while the other 10 spies were governed by their fear. It is a vastly different thing to be governed by fear and governed by faith. Say amen. Caleb said, we ought to go in and take the land. Let's go. We ought to go in, take the land. You know why he said that? Because in his heart, his faith said, God will do what God said he would do. He believed God. It's just a novel thing to believe God will do what God said he would do. But that's exactly what he believed. In spite of all the obstacles, in spite of all the difficulties, in spite of all the efforts that will have to be made, God said, this land is ours and he will fight our battles. I believe God. But 10 were fearful and 2 were full of faith. So what I want to say here is this. True, genuine faith is of another spirit. It's not the spirit of fear. It's not the spirit of the world. It's the spirit of God. True faith will always cause people to stand out for the truth. True faith will always cause you to stand up when something goes against the word of God. True faith will not let you just simply go with the crowd or drift with the stream when it goes against what God's word truly says. Number 2. Not only do we see here the distinction that marks Caleb's faith, he had another spirit with him, but secondly, I want you to see the direction that maps Caleb's Now, notice what God says here. But my servant, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, because he had this different spirit with him, because he had this godly spirit with him, what did he do? He hath followed me. He hath followed me. Caleb was always saying, we can do this. We can do this. This is doable. We should go. Pack it up. Let's go. The Lord will lead us. The Lord will guide us. The Lord will protect us. The Lord will fight for us. And my question is, were there other paths that were more attractive? Sure. Were there other paths that were more trouble-free? Sure. Were there other paths that were less daunting? Yes. But for Caleb, there was only one path. There weren't many paths. For Caleb, there was only one path. For Caleb, there was only one way to go, and that was God's way. Say amen. So following Christ not only means that our minds are changed and our hearts are changed, but following Christ means our direction is changed. My mind is changed. I agree with God. My heart is changed. I now love and desire to obey Him. But my direction is changed as well. I'm stopped following things on earth. I start following Him. And the characteristic of sheep, if we are true, genuine sheep, the characteristic of sheep is that they follow the shepherd. They hear his voice, they know his voice, and they follow. That's the characteristic of sheep. And those who have genuine faith have their direction changed so that they now follow God. And what that literally means, I think, is that there's no joy and there's no thrill and there's no peace like that we get when we walk in the will of God. What I say is this, There's no joy, there's no peace, and there's no happiness when a child of God is not walking with God. So Caleb's direction was walking in God's path and was walking in God's presence. And he was always aware that God was going to be present with them. And at the age of 85, remember, he went into the land to spy out the land at 40, but at age 85, that's where we are, at age 85, his confidence and his commitment to God were just as strong as it was when he was 40. We must walk in God's will, and we must walk in God's ways. Say amen. So if I have true, genuine faith, that faith will be distinct, right? In that I have the Spirit of God indwelling me that moves me and guides me and works in and through me. And I think people should notice that I'm different. Here's something really crazy. The Bible teaches us that we will reach people when we are different than they are, not when we are the same as they are. And so also that faith that God gives us is a faith that changes our direction so that now what we could not do before, follow God, we can do, and we do follow God. I almost said do there, but I changed it at the end. You notice that? It's good. Number three. Notice thirdly, not only the distinction of his faith and the direction of his faith, but notice thirdly the devotion that manifests his faith. Go back and look at verse number 14 again, or verse 24 again. Numbers 14, 24. But my servant, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me, and then here's the key word, had followed him how? Fully. Fully. Him will I bring into the land wherewith he went, and his seed shall possess it. The Bible does not say that Caleb simply followed God, but that Caleb followed God fully. And do you know the Bible says that six times about Caleb? Six different times the Bible says that Caleb fully or heartily, wholeheartedly followed God. Six times. And what that does, it speaks of the indivisibleness of Caleb's devotion to God. He was not a divided man. It is a phrase that means to close the gap. It was a phrase used by hunters or military to refer to their closing the gap between themselves and the enemy or themselves and the prey. It refers to the fact that Caleb was committed to keeping the distance between him and his Lord at a minimum. Every inch, every ounce, every nerve, every fiber of Caleb belonged to God. There wasn't anything about Caleb that fell out of the authority of God. Say amen. Caleb had given his whole self to God. Not part of himself, had given his whole self to God. And that translated into whatever God told Caleb to do. Guess what he did? He did it. And he didn't do part of it. He did all of it. So let me ask you a question. Those of you who are married happily, would you be satisfied with a spouse that was less than wholehearted toward you? What if your husband said, I love you, but I just love you partly? Would you be excited about that? Yes or no? How many say, I don't care? I'm just too old to care anymore. I'm just glad she's there when I wake up. Say, amen. I don't want a wife that's just half-hearted toward me. Do you? Why would we think that God would be okay with that? If you're not okay with that, why would we think God would be okay with that? I don't think God is satisfied with anything less than wholeheartedness from us. So when we fail to step out in faith, when we fail to step up in faith, we really miss an opportunity, don't we? And we reveal our half-heartedness. The Word of God says this: if you don't love Him, you will not obey Him. So how much do you love God? Quarter-hearted? Half-hearted? Three-quarters-hearted? Or do you love God wholeheartedly? The thing about Caleb that I jotted down here that I think is interesting for me is that Caleb is fully following God on this side of the fall of Adam, which means that if he was wholehearted in his following of God, so can I be wholehearted in following God. He did it on this side of the fall, not the other side of the fall. Say amen. If Caleb could do it, I can do it. I don't. You don't. But it's not an impossibility. Caleb was not a hypocrite. He followed the Lord with his whole heart, with the fullness of all that he was. And one of the things that proves that is that Caleb was willing to suffer for the truth of God. Now, our hearts should be fully devoted to God. Now let me sound a warning here to some of you. The Bible says about Solomon, you know Solomon? It says when he was old, his heart was not fully devoted to God as it had been. Be careful. As we move forward in our lives, the tendency is to be less devoted to God, not more. Say amen. But Caleb was fully devoted to God even at 85. So should we become less than wholeheartedly devoted to God as we grow older? No. Retirement should not equal less than being wholehearted toward God. And if it does, I don't want to retire. We should be fully following God always. Say amen. So true faith has a distinction about it, a spirit about it. True faith has a direction to it. It follows after God, follows after truth. And true faith has a devotion to it. It follows after God fully. Say amen. Now, look at the end of the verse. It is to him, it is to Caleb, the one who has this distinction about his faith, the one that has this direction about his faith, the one that has this devotion to God about his faith. It is to him that I will bring into the land whether into he went, and his seed will possess it. So Caleb's faith was preserved during the 40 days of being in the land and spying. He brought back a true report. 45 years he lived in the camp of Israel, but all that time he followed the Lord and never once partnered with those who were murmuring and complaining. And when his time came to claim the promise of God at the age of 85, this man was following his Lord fully. He shows a consistent heart. He shows a man who was just as zealous for God in his old age as he was in his young age. Just as fully devoted to God when his hair was vibrant and when his hair was gray. And so the question is, in the end, after 85 years, is this wholehearted following of God, was it worth it? Was it in vain? Was Caleb a fool? No. Because Caleb's faith was in a faithful God. Caleb's God was faithful. Caleb's God was a God that delivers on his promises. Caleb's God was a God that was worth following. It was to Caleb, the one with this distinctive faith, the one with this directive faith, the one with this fully devoted faith, to him God brought into the promised land and his seed possessed it. So the very thing God promised, God brought to pass. And Caleb, his faith remained devoted to God, and he saw God deliver on his promise. Say amen. And what he actually received, what he actually possessed, what his seed actually possessed, was a place of fellowship with God. I want to make some promises to you tonight. I promise you that your faith in Jesus Christ will be worth it. I promise you that your faith in Christ will not be in vain. I promise you that your faith in Jesus will not be foolish, although it is seen as being foolish in the world in which we live. Because there is a place that this God that we have faith in is preparing for us. And he is preparing this place for us because he said he's coming again. And the reason that he is coming again is to gather his people to himself, so that we may enjoy him and glory in him and bask in him and worship him forevermore. That promise, dear friend, I promise you, that promise will become the possession of everyone who has true, genuine faith in Jesus Christ. The promise will become our possession. But please, please make sure your faith is the right faith. Make sure it is God-given faith that is childlike, that is contented, that is cultivated, and that is preserved or continues. Let me close with this. There was a movie. I don't know the name of the movie. I think it had Richard Gere in it. But it was a movie that told the story of a dog's devotion to his master. Do you remember that movie? The premise of the movie is based on a true story. But this particular dog faithfully went to the train station every day to meet his master when his master would come home from work, from the city. And as the master came home, got off the train, the dog was always waiting for him, and they would walk home. And the dog did this for years. And even did it for years after his master had died and never came home. Matter of fact, the dog did it every day for years until he eventually died. It was telling the devotion of this dog to his master, this undivided devotion to his master. And the reason that I tell you that story is because Caleb's name, the name Caleb signifies or means a dog. And Caleb was well named. For there was never a dog, even that dog in that movie, that ever followed his master as Caleb followed his God. Caleb kept close to God. And even when there were threats against him, he was content to follow his master. But Caleb's name not only means or signifies a dog, it also means all heart. Caleb was all heart. He was all heart for his God. He did nothing heartlessly. His spirit was not a Laodicean lukewarmness, which is neither hot nor cold, that God spits out of his mouth. Caleb had about him a heart and a spirit that was full of holy heat. So, how do we need to see, as a people of God, we need to see this truth. Because we live in a church age. We live in a time in which the church as a whole in America seems to be so heartless about the things of God. We live in a church age in which people can take it or leave it. And let me warn you, folks, persecution is coming. Difficult days are coming. Say amen. They're coming. And only the faith that God gives you, that is placed in the person and work of Jesus Christ, will persevere. That's the only faith that will last. And if you don't have that faith, I would say run to the cross, bow your knee before God, and make sure you do.